Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
In classic fashion, October is shaping up to be a spooky month for investors. Yesterday, all of September's gains were wiped out following a new report that shows manufacturing in the U.S. at its worst since 2009. For more, let's bring in Robin Farzad, host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Jeremy.
So even with the drops in recent days, the market still appears to be near record highs. You say, however, that by one measure, it's not. Explain.
It's kind of weird if you think about all the stomach lining we've shed since, take January 2018, and I'm quoting Bloomberg here. In the period since, the S&P 500 has hit 18 fresh records. It's had a correction, a near 20% loss, two more declines of 6% this year. And after yesterday, you saw the first back-to-back declines of 1% a year. You put it all into the blender, and afterwards, we're told that the index has done nothing since January 2018.
Well, let's talk about some of the reasons for this week's drops. The Dow dropped 500 points yesterday, more than 800 points just in this very young month so far. Some say this is just October. It's always more volatile than other months. But what else is behind the drop?
Well, let's talk about October for a second. You think about the three defining market meltdowns of the past century. There was 1929. I mean, I was there. I remember it vividly. 1987, 2008. We all remember that. And you add to that this time around a confluence of anxieties for this October. We have the trade talks, if you remember those. They're set to continue in a few weeks with China. The UK is going to face an end-of-month Brexit deadline. What if it has to crash out, like Boris Johnson suggests? And the Federal Reserve is going to meet again at the end of the month, and everybody is talking about impeachment, by the way. So that is a tremendous amount of headline risk in a historic, you know, month for declines.
Well, let's talk about the manufacturing piece of this. This new manufacturing report from the Institute for Supply Management shows some of the weakest manufacturing in the U.S. in 10 years. And pins it on the trade war, which, if we remember correctly, President Trump was talking about the fact that the tariffs were going to help domestic manufacturing.
Yeah, but that takes time for that three-point turn to happen. For China, you know, there's going to be interim pain with the trade war and for the jobs to truly come back here. And in the interim, it certainly doesn't help that the U.S. dollar, our greenback, is so strong relative to other currencies. And you combine that with the trade headwinds and all the stockpiled inventories that we're talking about, and you're just seeing new orders for our wares slumping, both exports and domestic demand for factory orders.
And yet consumer spending, which makes up 70% of the domestic GDP, still going strong.
Yeah, but you know, the worry is going to snowball if and when you see this manufacturing pullback result in more idled factories, more layoffs. We're starting to see that anecdotally in Michigan. Are we going to see publicly traded manufacturers step up to announce earnings shortfalls? They're going to mothball projects and actually issue pink slips. Don't take for granted that the unemployment rate is still near a 50-year low.
And when you say we're starting to see that anecdotally in Michigan, do you mean because of the UAW strike that's been going on there?
That's right. I mean, you're already seeing increased furloughed workers across the supply chain. But that has to be looked at in the context, Jeremy, of stockpiling inventories for car makers. They've been complaining about sedans. How much of that sagging demand is economic? I think that's the question on everybody's mind right now, because GM certainly has enormous inventories. It doesn't have to have these factories running at full tilt, even if the UAW wasn't on its case.
Robin Farzad, host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy.